those 9 aging justices on the U.S. Supreme Court. One can only guess what they were taught about homosexuality as children. But when these 6 men and 3 women make a decision on same-sex marriage this term, they will be putting the period at the end of a long narrative of cultural change that began before any of them were born. The love story between 2 young men named Jack Baker and Michael McConnell comes somewhere in the middle of that narrative. The year was 1970. And at the time, the 2 smitten University of Minnesota students wanted to get married, but had never known another married gay couple. So they just went down to Hennepin County District Court and became the first known same-sex couple in the U.S. to apply for a marriage license. The 2 are still together, and besides making a home together, being in love, and making a life for themselves, they were making history. Michael says it was one of those love at first sight kind of things, or you might say history at first sight.
As our friend Cruz, who introduced us 48 years ago, said, you two are destined for each other. At the time, I wasn't really sure that that was true, but the truth is, he was right. And so I kind of feel like we've arrived at a very, very comfortable, loving, committed relationship that we can be proud of.
Do you think of yourself as activists?
When you speak of activist, that has many meanings to me. In the 70s, we were highly visible, highly public, and very, very active. After the 80s, I began to focus on my career, and he began to do his law practice and engineering privately. But that doesn't mean that we dropped out of the, quote, active scene. We worked behind the scenes with many others. For example, during the AIDS crisis in the 80s, locally, and we still, from time to time, spoke. I did things in my own profession, in the library profession, with regard to subject headings about GLBT people and getting those changed so that they were not negative and hateful. I worked with a number of librarians across the country. So many of the things that we did, you wouldn't see, but they would have long-term impact and create change in ways that people wouldn't necessarily see big time, but would rather experience in their lives.
How did you get that marriage license? What was the actual circumstance?
I did some research after I was a second-year law student, and what you learn in law school is that everyone's entitled to equal protection under the law. And when I read the statute, nowhere in Minnesota statute did it say that 2 men could not marry each other. And under the rule of law, what's not forbidden is permitted. But when we applied in Hennepin County, the clerk said that he would not issue the license. We decided that the alternative to that would be an adoption. And you can get almost as many benefits of marriage as an adoption. And so we went to the court and applied for an adoption where Michael adopted me. And in that process, you are entitled to a name change. And so we just routinely did a name change. And once the court issued the adoption certificate with the name change, we simply went down to another county and applied for a license, which was issued. And everything was done according to law, and no one has challenged it. It has never been taken to a court. And it is a lawful license, a lawful contract, and only a court can invalidate a lawful contract. And so it has remained legal to this day. And once we had the certificate, that we had a Methodist minister agreed to perform the ceremony and sign the contract and validate it and then submit the documentation back to the clerk of court.
What was more important to you, looking back now, the paperwork that certified this relationship as a valid marriage, or the ceremony and the celebration that indicates that the community is with you as a couple?
For me personally, it is that personal commitment. As my parents told me when I was growing up, you are as good as anyone else. And I took that to heart, and I believe that. And if all my brothers and sisters could have marriages, and my cousins and others in my family could have marriages, I believed I should be able to have a marriage. And to celebrate that in the family and with friends was extremely important. I wanted that same feeling of security and love that others in my family experienced. Certainly, it's important to have the contract because in our society, rights and privileges are distributed through the marriage contract. I'm entitled to those same marriage privileges and rights as any other citizen, and I wasn't about to take less.
You've spent how many years together?
We were married on September 3rd, 1971. We committed on March 10th, 1967. So we've been together since 1967, 48 years. We're now going into our 49th year.
So we have all together lived to a moment where I can ask you a question that wouldn't have made sense maybe three decades ago. What's your secret? And I'm not asking you what's your secret as a gay couple or as a straight couple. I'm just asking you, what's your secret?
Well, I committed and I live up to my commitments. And the most important thing is I love him.
And for me, it was that the usual term that people do use is love at first sight. It falls closely into that category. But once I saw Michael, I decided that I would make a commitment, and it turned out I was right. So,
you know, I just have to say, you know, love is the most powerful force in the universe. Same-sex bonds like ours are a basic ingredient of human life. And our relationship, like all relationships, is about love and commitment. And when we made those vows, we believed it. And we still do.
Michael McConnell and Jack Baker, thanks for sharing your secrets. And the best of luck to you. And what a history you've lived.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Michael McConnell and Jack Baker are the first same-sex couple in the U.S. to apply for a marriage license. That was back in 1970. Their story, as told to Gail Karwoski, will be published by the University of Minnesota Press in the spring of 2016.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.